Welcome to the Powered by Transova podcast, where Transova team members and industry experts will cover how our reproductive toolbox of embryo transfer, in vitro fertilization, sorted semen, and cloning technologies can multiply the success within your livestock breeding program. Throughout our series, we will also cover a wide array of topics such as frequently asked questions, management and care advice, as well as client and location highlights.
Welcome to today's Powered by Transova podcast. You have Emily and myself, Sarah, and today we have with us, I guess I'll consider him a special guest. I'd like to share childhood stories, but I know that there's a strong chance of repercussions, so I'm going to avoid doing that. But we have with us Dan Faber, who is the cloning lab manager for Transova. Welcome, Brother Dan. And could you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of your role at Transova and kind of your background and how you got to where you are?
Absolutely. I didn't know there were going to be shots fired so early, but we'll save the good stories till the end. My name is Dan Faber. I'm the cloning lab manager. I've been with Transova working for 9 years. I'm obviously a part of Transova for 33 years. Some of my earliest memories with Sarah are running around the Transova farm and getting into trouble where we probably shouldn't have been. But I spent a lot of my life with Transova thinking about Transova. My first unsuccessful business was a lemonade stand at Transova where I sold pretty crappy lemonade at a high price and didn't always give change back. So it's a good thing they didn't hold that against me when I started working at Transova. I'm married to my wife, Brooke. We'll celebrate our 10-year anniversary this summer. So that's something exciting. I have 3 kids. The oldest, Drake, will be 7. He'll be 7 in May. He's a kindergartner this year. And then I've got identical twins, Tate and Hayes, which keep us busy and life interesting. And they actually turned 3 on Thursday. So pretty busy in our house. Sarah knows that our kids can be wild and crazy, but it's a lot of fun. As for my background, I grew up in the livestock industry, showing livestock, raising livestock with our family. I was active in 4-H and FFA and played sports and a lot of those things through high school. After high school, I went to Northwestern College in Orange City, Iowa. It's a small private Christian college and just down the road here from Sioux Center. I actually ended up there on an athletic scholarship, but also viewed it as an opportunity to continue my faith through my education. Then while I was there, I majored in biology health professions. Knew I wanted to do something in biology, wasn't really sure what. After that, I kind of started down a different path and made a pretty quick decision that it wasn't for me. It was a hard decision at the time, but it was the right decision in hindsight. And if there's any college or high school students, I'd encourage you to that sometimes there are going to be hard decisions. And if you know you're not doing something where you have passion or interest, make sure you find where you need to be, because the only person that can advocate for yourself is yourself. So it was a hard decision. But after that, I was fortunate where the opportunity and passion met, where Transova posted a position that met a lot of the things that I wanted. And like I said, my passion's always been kind of in the livestock industry. Sarah can attest to this, but there's not a family time that we get together that we don't talk about the success we had in the show cattle industry, the could have been's, should have been's, and in fact, probably that were has been's is probably the most important of one of those things. But yeah, so the position got posted at Transova, and it was kind of the perfect chance of passion and opportunity. And I'm still thankful that Tim and Hong took a chance on me, and I spent the last 9 years at Transova in the cloning lab, first as a cloning technician and now as the cloning manager. So that's a little bit about my background.
I learned so much about you, Dan, that I didn't know.
Oh, no. I hope you won't hold it against me, Emily. So
what? Well, there's a lot I hold against you, starting with who you root for in college, but we won't get into that. What sport did you play on an athletic scholarship?
I actually went on a basketball scholarship. So basketball was kind of always my favorite sport. And luckily I'm a tall Dutch kid, so it worked out for me.
And I'm going to call you Brother Dan, like Sarah did. Okay. Yep.
That's fine.
Growing up, everybody called him Danny. So we could really revert back to old nicknames.
I'll just say Sister Sarah and the Emily Wernemont. We'll be in pretty good shape today.
Perfect. Dan, you've got a lot of good background and everything. And you, how long have you been in the cloning manager role now?
Started in December of 2022. So 14 months or whatever that ends up, 15 months, whatever that ends up being. So before that, I actually served as the cloning lab coordinator. So I've been in a few different roles and was excited when the opportunity came to be the cloning lab manager here a couple of years ago.
So explain some of your job responsibilities and what all that entails.
So as the manager, I oversee all aspects of our cloning lab and the production work we do. I work closely with Diane Brook, who's our advanced technology sales and production manager. So in the lab, our goal is to provide our cloning services to our clients. Our most important goal is to capture and recreate the elite genetics for our clients. We primarily work with four species, bovine, which is cattle, porcine, which is pigs, ovine, which is sheep, and caprine, which is goats. Those are our four main cloning species. We do process genetic samples for clients that are outside of those four species and have the capabilities to do so. We also have a long history of working with clients to preserve DNA of rare, critical, and endangered species. And we have some upcoming clients that are some upcoming projects that are pretty exciting involving rare species. Our main focus is the SCNT or somatic cell nuclear transfer process, which is just the fancy way of saying cloning. A lot of times we shorten that to NT or nuclear transfer just because it fits a lot of what we're doing better than just the whole SCNT logo. Our goal is to produce embryos for our clients that result in happy and healthy offspring. A quick overview of the cloning process, if you want me to get into that, would be the first step is just getting the cells created from the tissue samples, which we can talk about in a little bit. The first step is collecting oocytes for our clients, depending on what the species is. A lot of times those maturation times vary. Most of our species are a one-day maturation time. Pigs are the outlier, and that's a two-day maturation time. It doesn't really matter where we get the oocytes from. We're going to remove the DNA anyway, so it's more just about finding healthy and good quality oocytes from a good source. Once those oocytes are matured, we'll remove the chemo cells in the stripping process and move into the cloning process. We'll check those for maturation rate. The big thing we're looking at is whether or not that oocyte has extruded a polar body. The extrusion of the first polar body just highlights the fact that they're in the right process of their meiotic process. So that's the main thing we're looking for. After that, we'll stain those oocytes and move into the nucleation process. If you ever Google cloning, a lot of times you'll see the nucleation process highlighted. It's the part where we stain the oocytes and make the DNA visible. And so we go in and remove that DNA during the nucleation process. After that, we move into reconstruction. And during the reconstruction, we just take those enucleated oocytes and put a cell from the donor animal back in. It's one cell per oocyte. And at that point, it's not technically an embryo yet. We call it a couplet. It's kind of a little bit of a side fact there. After that, we go through the process of electrofusion and try to fuse those oocytes together. Fuse the oocyte and the cell together. It's just a quick electrical pulse we deliver to that. And after that, it's just activate, which starts the embryo development process and then transfers. And obviously transfers depends on species and client needs and a few different things like that. So there's a lot of different options you can get into with how and when and where those are transferred. The other thing that our lab is in charge of is the cell tissue processing. We want to make sure that we preserve the genetic material of those elite donors. We offer two different options for that. The first one's Express Tissue Bank. It's the quickest, easiest, and cheapest. We typically recommend that for clients who may want to take a bunch of samples on a variety of donors at one time, or maybe clients who want to take the samples and ensure they've got the DNA, but aren't quite sure they want to move into the cloning process. Once the clients send in the tissues, we go through our protocol and wash period, and then freeze those tissue punches intact. So once they're frozen intact, we can kind of preserve those tissues indefinitely and use them maybe when the client wants to proceed to genetic preservation. The second one I mentioned is the genetic preservation. This one is it's the same process as the Express Tissue Bank, except we're gonna take that tissue and get clonable cells from it. This process is recommended for clients who know they're gonna go into the cloning process. It's more expensive, but it's also safer. At the end of the process, we know we have quality, healthy cells for the client. We typically freeze 8 to 10 vials of cells. That gives you millions of cells that we can keep indefinitely, and those clients have the opportunity to use those whenever. That process takes about 10 to 14 days. Depends a little bit on the sample. But yeah, once we're finished with that, we'll have clonable cells that the client can use at any point whenever they decide they want to schedule that process. So that's a little bit about that. The Express Tissue Bank is $500. The genetic preservation is $1,600. We do run some bulk discounts on those, and a lot of times we'll have sales throughout the year. I know Cyber Monday is one of our big big sales on those two processes. So if you ever have any questions, I'd contact Diane Baruch. She's the mastermind of all that, and we'll get you the bulk pricing answers that you need. So
yeah, I'll just tack onto that. I think we actually do Cyber Month. We call it Cyber Monday, okay. But I think the special runs all month. But like Dan said, Diane has the ins and outs of all of the pricing and the discounts. So if you're interested and not sure about the price, just reach out, because there are discounts that run at different maybe events or shows or time of year. So Dan, you've gone through a lot of the nitty gritty of the cloning lab. Tell me, what do you think are the common kind of misconceptions about either cloning itself, the cloning process? Do you really take naps in there when it's dark during the day? Like, can you give us what you think, are the misconceptions?
Well, the biggest misconception, we do take naps. So you're already wrong in the first part there. We nap all the time when we're in the lab. But no, I think one of the bigger misconceptions that we run into that's a problem with samples is that when a client takes a sample, they think it needs to be frozen, not cool. And that can run into some problems where if a sample is frozen, we really can't get healthy tissue or cells from it. So the big thing I would tell clients is make sure you don't freeze your tissue, even though it's a pretty normal thought when we're trying to keep things good in our house, we put it in the freezer, right? But when it comes to growing cells, it's not the best option. So one of the other things we hear a lot of is that clones will breed differently. They're genetically the same. They'll breed the same. If you have an animal you're taking genomics on, the clone and the original will have the same genomics. They'll breed the same. And we've done a lot of studies at Transova that would highlight that same fact. One of the other ones I hear every once in a while is that, you know, that Dolly died at a young age and that clones have a shorter lifespan. This is not true. She actually died from a pretty normal illness. And we've also done studies on this and kind of disprove that theory as well. The clones will live no differently than the originals as well. Outside of your normal health issues or things like that, but there's no shortening of life through the cloning process.
That's where that nature versus nurture plays into it. Of a clone, if you want it to be exactly like the original, you'd have to basically have the exact same life yep. events and lifestyle as the original for the clone to perform exactly the same, right? So yep. That's hard to mimic again.
Yeah, and I'll tell people, I've got my own version of clones. Like I said earlier, I've got identical twins and they look a little different and they act a little different. And there's always going to be an environmental factor to that process as well. So never thought, I've given a lot of talks saying clones are, you know, genetic twins. I never thought I'd have my own genetic twins in life. So that life does come at you fast sometimes.
So you kind of hit on this a little bit, but you know, the first step of the cloning process really is getting the sample. And that is at the client end of the whole process. Maybe talk a little bit about the do's and don'ts of taking a sample, you know, fridge versus frozen, storage, shipping, all of that jazz.
Yep. The first thing I would encourage clients to do is just be proactive. If you've got an animal that you know you're going to take the sample on, do it before it becomes an emergency, because it gives us more time, more flexibility, and a better chance that you're going to have everything you want at the end of the cell tissue processing. I know it's easier said than done. Obviously, Sarah and I know that we've been in favor show cattle and we've said, hey, did anybody do that one? And that one was in the chute and that cow was already gone. So I understand that things can get hectic and busy, but if you have the opportunity to be proactive, I would encourage the same thing with those who show their livestock and want to take a sample. There's been certain shows that you can't take tissue samples from. And so being proactive and kind of looking ahead at what, where and when and how and what you can and can't do is an important thing as well. Because if you're at a show that doesn't allow you to take those samples, there's really nothing we can do for you at that point. So try to be proactive. Once again, Diane Brooks, the most knowledgeable about all of that on what, you know, where and how and when. So if you ever have any questions, call her. If you know you're going to take a sample, just let us know and we can send you a clone kit. The clone kits have all of the proper equipment and protocols and instructions for taking the sample. We can send that to you at any time. You can keep it for as long as you need it. They're pretty shelf stable, so it's not an issue of if you get it and then wait a few weeks. There is a charge for that, but that charge is negated and included in the price if you proceed with an express tissue bank or genetic preservation. A lot of times in those clone kits, we'll send a return label as well. So if you ship that kit back, we'll send a return label with our address and everything on it. If you need a clone kit, contact Diane or one of the team members in the cloning lab, and we can get that to you on a pretty timely basis. So it's not an issue for you. One of the other things that we recommend is just communicate. If you need a kit or are going to send a kit or any of those things, make sure you communicate with us. Calling is always better than emailing. If it's, 1 o'clock on a Thursday and you need a clone kit sent, a lot of times we're busy in the lab and doing things. So give us a call. We're way more apt to answer a phone call than we are an email, just with the demands of our work. Once you have the clone kits, follow the instructions. If you have any questions, call. Like we talked about earlier, always keep your samples refrigerated, not frozen. This is important just because if you freeze it, there's a really low chance we're going to get you any cells from it. It's just an unfortunate result of freezing tissue. The other thing I would say is always make sure you send it back to us in a timely manner. The quicker we can get those tissue samples, the better. And that's just because a lot of times those samples are better fresh than they are a ways down the road. We have grown cells in a tissue 11 days out. That's the exception to the rule, not the norm. So I wouldn't recommend trying that one very often. But we do have a little bit of time, but the sooner is better. With shipping those kits back, like I said, use the label we include. It's easier for us to track and know when shipments are coming. We get email updates for those as they're coming back. If you have a kit and don't have a return label, just reach out to us and we can get you a return label. That way we know it's coming the way we need it to come. Try to get those back as early in the day as possible. And there's two reasons for that. With shipping, sometimes there are delays. And if it's scheduled first thing in the morning, we got more wiggle room that it'll show up the actual day that it's supposed to arrive. And second, the genetic preservation process it's a lengthy process. And so we want to make sure we have the people, the equipment, and the staff all ready to go to make sure we can get that done as quickly as possible for the client. If you don't have a kit and need to take a tissue sample, call Diane Brook or one of our team members and we can walk you through that process. And with any of this, there are documents and protocols on our website that you can follow. The other thing with taking samples is a lot of times we have deceased animals, which is an unfortunate part of having livestock. And part of the deal is sometimes that you're going to have an animal that you need to take a sample on that is deceased. And so if that happens, we recommend taking the ear, cutting off the ear, get it in a cool place and send it to us as quickly as possible. There is a deceased protocol on the website as well. So if you have any questions about that, you can look at that. But yeah, make sure you call us and then just send us the whole ear is probably as important as anything. Yeah, those would probably be the more important things I can think of. Is there anything, Emily and Sarah, that you would have questions on or think I need to expand on?
The only thing I would, I guess, emphasize is the communication piece. If you're sending a sample, and we're not aware, you need to let the team know, just because there's been samples that have sat somewhere because we were unaware that it was coming in, and that then it was not an ideal situation for anybody. The only other thing I think I would add, if you're worried about taking a sample, there's a video on our website as well that shows you visually step-by-step how to take that sample. And it's really not that hard of a process. The equipment's not that difficult. The process isn't that difficult. So just watch the video and pretty confident that anybody can take a good sample. So that's the only thing I would add.
And I would add, we've recently went to a new sample taking protocol that's easier on the client and on the animal. And so we have videos for that one. We have videos for both ways to take samples on our website. And they're great assets. So if you ever have any questions or need a little bit more information, call or we can get you those videos as well. The other thing I'd maybe add too is extreme heat. It would be the other thing I guess I didn't say with the temperature variation. When it's 110 degrees, things get stinky and they get stinky for a reason. And so make sure you're trying to avoid that with your samples, because when they get stinky, it can cause some problems for us too, because stinky normally means, contamination, all of those things are going on. So get those samples into a nice, cool place as soon as possible.
Sounds great. Dan, you've talked a lot about contacting the team there at the cloning lab. Could you kind of go into some of the team members that you work with, who kind of delegates what tasks, and just give us a little more glimpse into how many people are involved in this lab?
Yep. So we're a team of six. We have five technicians in our lab, Travis Hoffmeyer, Shelby Franken, Brandon Jasper, Ashley Van Egdom, and Quinn Biker are cloning lab technicians. Typically, if you have any kit shipping that you need done or any questions about that kind of stuff, Shelby, Brandon, and Ashley are kind of our go-to experts on getting those kits out and samples taken. So a lot of times if you call in and have any questions, those are the three you'll hear from. When I started, we were a lab of two, so it's a lot of fun that we have a lab of six. I didn't think that when I started that we'd maybe grow as fast and do the things that we've done so quickly, but it's it's been a great opportunity and a lot of fun to see that kind of growth. We have a great team. I'm fairly confident saying we're the world's best. When we talk to other people in the industry about what we do, a lot of people are amazed at our capacity and workload and ability to handle the things we do. So I love working with the people I do. It's probably my favorite part of my job is getting to work with those people. We're more like a work family than we are a work team. The cloning process involves a lot of time together, which could be good or could be really good or really bad. Luckily, it's a really good thing because we get along and truly do care and invest in each other, both professionally and personally. We've taken the Multiply success to the next level in the cloning lab. In the last 7 years, we've added 8 kids and with a 9th on the way. So we're a growing lab in professional ways and personal ways, which is a lot of fun to see people's best moments, both professionally and personally. So
very good. Yeah. And I think you see that across Transova on a whole. We talk about that a lot on this podcast, is just how well our teams mesh together and how it's like a big family here. So it's cool to hear that goes on in the cloning department too. So Dan, maybe talk a little bit, tell us maybe a success story that you have or an emergency type story that you've come across in your 9 years with Transova and how that's played out. And I mean, I'm sure there's tons of them that you could share, but maybe give us one or two to share on the podcast here today.
Yep. I guess I highlighted maybe the emergency story of the year, which is we got samples to grow 11 days after the animal death, which is a new record. Like I said, wouldn't recommend, but sometimes we do make miracles out of things we didn't expect. So even though we can do it, make sure you get those samples sent sooner. But no matter when you send the sample, we're going to give it our best shot and give it a try, because we'll always do our best to make sure we're getting the most success for our clients. As for success stories, we've recently had 2 clients that have now announced some disease resistant projects that we've been happy and excited about to be a part of. Those have just come out in the news here recently. So that's been a lot of fun, doing some of that GE work. Other success stories, I guess, if you went to any of the major sales and across the livestock industry over the past few months, you've seen a lot of clone genetics and clone animals be sale toppers and sale highlights. It's been a lot of fun to see those customers and clients have a lot of success and to see the impact the cloning technology has had in the industry. So it's been a lot of fun to see that. In the dairy breed, we've done a lot of work with some of the highest genomic animals in the industry. I'm not going to get into any specifics, but just getting to see those come across in the lab on our schedule, it's a lot of fun to see the impact that the cloning technology is having for clients and industry and all of those things. So we're always excited to work with the clients in the elite of the elite.
Definitely some cool stories, success stories that cloning has had a part in. And so it's neat to see that. You know, we have a lot of success stories with our traditional toolbox of services. And then you can say that Transova is probably one of the only places where you can also add that cloning tool into your toolbox. And so it's neat that it all kind of ties together sometimes.
Yep. Even just to see that, you know, some of these sales, it's a lot of the same, you know, clone donors and clone genetics and things that keep working for the clients, and it's giving them opportunities they wouldn't have had previously. So it's a lot of fun to see that kind of, to hear those stories and see that kind of success.
Sure. You know, opportunities for the owner and then for those to have access to those genetics too. You know, it kind of allows access or more opportunities on both ends of the spectrum.
Yep.
Dan, tell me, what does a good day look like for you when you're going to work in the morning and you go home at night? You're like, man, that was a good day. What kind of day does that look like?
Well, recently in Iowa here, it's a good day if it doesn't snow, but it looks like we're going to have more of that coming, unfortunately. So actually in a good day of work, it's that we fulfill the client orders, make good embryos, have good transfers and make good pregnancies and offspring for our clients. Our ultimate goal is to have happy and successful clients. And so a good day for us is that we go in, we get the work done and it results in the success for our clients. So there's nothing better in our lab than seeing pictures or hearing results or hearing those success stories. And so it's what drives us to do our job to the best of our ability. And we look forward to hearing more of those success stories in the future too. So.
Awesome. Well, Dan, thank you for joining us today. That is the end of our questions. Is there anything that we didn't ask you that you wish we would have, or anything else that you'd like to add into your interview here today?
Not off the top of my head. I mean, we can do another podcast sometime telling all those good stories of Sarah, but I don't know if we have enough time to get all the good ones out. So I guess we're gonna have to save that for another time.
See, the thing is though, I'm pretty sure there's more stories about you as a child than there are about me, because you were a troublemaker.
I guess my answer then is I have nothing else to share.
No comment.
No comments.
Got it. Well, thanks again, Dan, for joining the Powered by Transova podcast today. I think there's a lot of great information. It's just the tip of the iceberg with the cloning department. I'd say if anybody's interested, go back and listen to a couple of the episodes that we've done with Diane, and we'll link some contact info for Dan and Diane in the show notes of this, and be happy to provide any more information that anybody needs after this. So thanks again, Dan, for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for letting me come on and share a little bit about cloning. If anybody ever has any questions or comments, feel free to reach out and they'll get the questions to the right people. So I appreciate it, Emily and Sarah, and have a good rest of your day.
Thank you, Dan. And we'll catch everybody next time on the Powered by Transova podcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to Transova. If you have any topics you'd like to hear more about, send an email to moreinformation@transova.com. Thank you.